I want to move to our final process tonight. If you would turn to page 8, we're going to do an inner process with this worksheet. And so just having your page open to 8, if you would put your pins down, we're going to go inside. We're going to make that journey to go inside and touch the light within us so that the light can draw up into our awareness what we need to see about our own thinking. And so just begin to surrender again into the breath, letting go into the breath. And one more time, allow your breath to serve as the passageway to move your awareness deep into the cave of your heart, where once again you open to see with the eye of the heart, the eye of love. And calling forth that illumined presence of the light of wisdom within you, your own higher wisdom self, the Christ within. Ask it now to explore your soul and investigate your flesh, scrolling back through this life, and draw up into your experience, into your mind's eye, some of your formative beliefs that you held about Jesus Christ. And let Christ just take you through in your mind's eye as you grew older. If there were any additional beliefs that you begin to hold about Jesus Christ. Being aware that some of these beliefs may be positive in nature. Some of them may be negative in nature. And when you're ready, give thanks for what's been given. And bringing your awareness back to the worksheet. Under Jesus Christ version 1.0 on the left-hand page of the worksheet, just begin to list some of the beliefs that you have about Jesus Christ. And some of you may be able to list and complete all of those lines, but I would encourage you to at least be able to fill out 2 or 3 of them. And when you have 2 or 3 or 4 of them listed out there, what I'd like to have you do is just begin to raise your level of thought. And we're going to either bring across the quality of Jesus that you still want to believe in today and bring it across and create version 2. And if there's a negative quality, I want you to look into that and see how you would transform it into a higher quality and a belief that you would wish to hold for today. So in version 1, Jesus Christ is the belief that you've had. In version 2, I am Jesus Christ, come again, is the quality you're identifying with. Okay. So what I want to start doing here is I want to get some of this up on our flip chart here and see some of the examples you have of some of the things that you took directly across and others that you transformed, so we begin to have a sense of what's in the room, especially in regards to our beliefs about Jesus Christ. So who would like to begin here?
Savior.
Savior, under version 1. And how did you bring that across, Carlene?
Protector, defender.
I am Jesus Christ, come again as protection. Okay, who else?
The Son of God.
Son of God. And how did you bring that across, Mary?
As a child of God.
Ah, very good. Did you feel how that went clunk in the room there when she said that? What else? Powerless. That in the face of Jesus' greatness, you felt powerless? Jesus was powerless at some of the things that happened to his life, and especially the crucifixion. What are you saying?
Yeah, I guess that he didn't have the power to overcome darkness.
Aha. Uh-huh. So there was a piece of his life that you connected into of his powerlessness. And then how did you bring that across, Kim?
Strength,
very good. Okay, who's next? Dave.
An anomaly.
In other words, he was the only one.
That was it.
No more. He was the finished product. No more. And how did you bring that across?
Universal.
Universal. As he said, ye shall do things even greater than me. But when I first read that, ye shall do things greater than me, I didn't believe it.
Well, I thought he was just talking to...
His, yeah, 12 guys who could do this stuff, but then no more. Yeah, yeah. So very nice that it was a universal message for all humanity. Okay, what else? Who else? Okay, Bob.
Jesus Christ is separate.
Separate. Yes, Jesus Christ is separate from me. And how did you bring across?
I am Jesus Christ, come again as me.
As me. Excellent. Yes. Yes, that this is what this whole class is about, what Yogananda was writing about, the resurrection of the Christ in you as you. Okay, what else? Ginny.
Unattainable.
Uh-huh. Unattainable. That version one, the historical Jesus, that whatever all that was, it was unattainable for you. And how did you bring that across?
Within me.
Within you, yes. That... you were able to transform that which appeared way off and unattainable as a literal interpretation, that as you entered more into your spiritual understanding in the scriptures, you came to realize, as St. Paul did, Christ within me, the hope of glory. Personalizing it, individualizing it. Very nice. Okay, who else? Okay, Penny.
Hated.
Hated. That he was, Jesus was hated. There was certainly evidence of the senses about that, yeah. And how did you bring that across, Penny?
Loved.
Okay, I am Jesus Christ, come again as love. Yes. Okay, anything else?
You had love.
Version 1, right? Right, yes. Now, did you bring that just directly across? You know, there was no need to transform that. What was true then is true now, but what was true then as love... an expression for humanity is now love individualized in you, Carol. Love, I am Jesus Christ, come again as love. Okay, any other one? Cynthia.
The one that hasn't been talked about, not real.
Not real.
And the only thing I could, it is part of the thing, but truth is discovered within.
Right, that I am Jesus Christ come again as truth. And see, what is so important here and what distinguished Jesus from all that went before, because there were mythic stories in other religions prior to the life of Jesus in which there was a godded one who was killed and crucified and rose again. But they all were at the mythic level because they were given hope to the promise of humanity, but it hadn't taken place yet. And so why time changed, the calendar changed, the center of the world changed when this happened in a real human being. That the Godhead one was no longer a myth, no longer a story, but was real in a person. And that's why until as late as the 1800s, all of the maps in the world were drawn with Jerusalem at the center. Because of what took place there. It changed humanity. It changed the course of the evolution for every single person. It brought in not just a little evolutionary change. It brought in an evolutionary change in kind. A leap that was greater than what had ever gone before. And so you're absolutely right that there's a certain place in which reading that story, even at the literal level, seems mythic, not real. And there are scholars today who are writing books saying that it's a story and it never happened. And yet we know from everything that's gone before, in seeing with, first of all, a metaphysical truth and a mystical truth, that it is very real and it lives in you as truth. I am Jesus Christ come again as the individualized center of the promise of God to be a light unto the world. That the light wasn't just for a particular time, for a particular place, in this little outlandish, outwash group of people, in this insignificant part of the world, but the light came for all people and for all time. And as we evolve, that light is awakened in us, and we then become a center for its revelation, for its expression. And so what we would say in terms of Cynthia, that Cynthia is now a center for the truth of the light of Christ into the world. Okay, anything else? Yes, Dave, one more.
Suffering.
Oh, yes, this is a very important one. And how did you bring that across?
Victorious. Without the resurrection, he's just another prophet.
Without the resurrection, we wouldn't be here.
And I don't think you really get a sense of that until you... And everybody at this table has experienced resurrection for themselves. Mm-hmm. And you don't really get a belief in that, and a really meaty idea of what it means and how important the resurrection is unless you have the experience.
Right, and what Dave's saying is that unless you have an inner experience of your own resurrection, and it starts in very simple ways, we can be resurrected by healing a false belief. That any higher thought is a resurrection of our lower nature. And that because we've had those experiences along the way in our spiritual life, because, look, all of you have had healed relationships out of your spiritual practice, right? You've all had the mystery of Christ and love moving through you, and relationships have been healed. Those relationships have been resurrected. They've been resurrected into the light. If I hadn't done the work of resurrecting my relationship with my mother over several years, I would not have been able to be with her in the way that I was as a center of love for her passing, for her transition. And that was one of the most important parts of my spiritual life and my spiritual realization and my spiritual healing. That out of being able to be with her that way, I was given a gift beyond anything I could have imagined. But unless I had done the work of resurrecting the relationship within me, resurrecting my false judgments and beliefs about her, that I could not have been with her in the way that I was. And so because we've had these experiences of some of our own false beliefs being resurrected into new beliefs, new life, just like this worksheet is designed to do, and when we look at the at the relationships that have been resurrected, when we look at the healings within ourselves that have been a resurrection of our flesh, we stand in a trust of accepting that what Jesus demonstrated individually, that there'll come a time in humanity that it will be done by others. And some of what Paramahansa Yogananda points to in Autobiography of a Yogi, that it has taken place. The thing that is the greatest knowing for me comes out of my experience with the writings and the teachings of Ernest Holmes, especially in the Science of Mind textbook, is that before I came into religious science, my belief about the eternality of the soul was just a belief. It had no reality behind it. I could talk about it, but I didn't know. And there was something in the way that Ernest Holmes spoke of and stood for and based his whole teaching on the immortality of the soul that I got it. There was just a point that I knew that was truth. And for a minister, it can happen in how it happened for me unequivocally that from this day forward, there I had no doubt, and there has never been a doubt since. But when I had the privilege of facilitating someone whose husband had a bad fall at work and ended up being just brain dead in the hospital. And I had the opportunity to facilitate her completion with him. And then she gave the permission to unplug the machine. And this was at the beginning of my public ministry. And afterwards, I knew right when I was facilitating, I was asking her to say what she needed to say to him, and she said it out loud. And then I asked her to hear what he was saying to her. Now, I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I knew that his soul was right there speaking to her. And later on, in the day after we left and I sat down and I talked with her, I asked her, "Did you hear him?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I heard his voice. It was as clear as can be." And she was so grateful for the conversation. But there was something in that dispelled any lingering doubt I may have had. And from that point forward, it's been a certainty of truth in me. And it came from within. And if there are people I have told or, you know, had conversations with that your soul is eternal, they can't get it because they're still thinking at the literal level. First of all, they can't see a soul. All they can see is a flesh body. And when a flesh body goes into the ground, it's gone. It's down there. And if you dig it up, it'll still be down there. So, you know, how could it be anyplace else? And so you see in terms of the literal level, but with the teachings of Ernest Holmes, that got handled. That totally got handled for me. And because, like Dave was saying, we've had smaller resurrections where we've been resurrected into new thought that saved us from our error. We've been resurrected into, you know, new life and new love and relationships. That because of that, there's the promise and the trusting that there is a victory for all of us. And the first level of that is knowing that the soul is eternal. So we're victorious over death. That's like a given here. That's a given for Yogananda. And it comes in tomorrow's teaching in the second discourse on reincarnation. But see, in what Jesus was saying, that we can be victorious here now on earth, in heaven. That heaven is here and we don't have to die to be victorious for the eternality of the soul. That it's here. And in the promise of the revelation, the 1,000 years of the reign of God, the expectation is that will be how it is. Now, we've not lived that out yet, and we've not walked it out in faith, but everything I sense in terms of the direction we're going, that's where we'll end up. And so you're absolutely right that there is a very high sense of victoriousness for humanity and for the evolution of the soul that came out of the suffering of Jesus, so that you can say, I am Jesus Christ come again as victory. And you can say that in the bleakest, darkest hour and have something to stand on. And even when it seems like there's nothing to stand on, you can call somebody up and ask them to stand witness to that for you. And in the beginning of my ministry, I said this from the pulpit because Kathy Hearn was one of my first teachers and doing my internship with her. I realized that when I forgot who I was, she was the one person I could call who could tell me who I was in Christ, who could remind me that I am Jesus Christ come again as victory. Now, those aren't my words. Those are your words we're using tonight, Dave. But the essence is the same. And we all need somebody like that in our lives, whether it's our spiritual director, whether it's our mate, that when we forget, when the darkness takes over, we have somebody who knows the truth about us from the inside out, not from the outside circumstances in. And all you have to do is come back to this sheet. This sheet is a reminder. Right? A reminder. Okay, anything else? Very nice, everyone. Very nice. We will begin at 9:30 in the morning. Take care of yourself tonight. Bring your lunch for tomorrow. And is there anything else that anybody needs to say in order to be complete for our time together tonight? Okay, please join me in our closing prayer. And so it is in this most holy and sacred place that I give thanks for the sweet elixir of truth that has revealed itself here this night among us. I give thanks that we stand upon truth as all of the saints, sages, and mystics and holy ones before us have also stood, that we stand on their shoulders. And so this night we can proclaim that I am Jesus Christ come again. That there is a place within each of us that is waiting to hear those precious words, waiting for us to recognize this truth that has always been at the center of our being. And so I give thanks for all that's been given and all that's been received this night. And as we go forth, I know that we are guided, guarded, and protected. I know that the light of Christ works in our soul as we slumber in our sleep tonight, bringing us healing dreams, bringing us that greater revelation of the light in all that we are. And I know that we gather back here tomorrow in a sense of anticipation, in a sense of the rightness of this work that we are doing together, and knowing that we come together in that holy presence of the living God that is Christ, right here and right now. And for this, I am eternally grateful. And I do give thanks in the high holy name that is God, individualized and revealed as a living Christ in each of us. Amen.